from KQED.
This is the California Report. Merry Christmas to you. I'm John Sepulvedo, and we're going to begin with a little audio present for your ears, a present that's going to need a little explaining. One thing we do here at the California Report is ask our new to the reporting industry journalists what their biggest fear is. And so when Hope McKinney joined our team, she told us that one of her biggest fears is to eat bugs. So, naturally, we sent her on a story that requires her to do just that. And what she brought back is a present to all of us. One of the funniest stories I've heard in a long time, especially in a year where there's been so many news tragedies. Hope's story starts with me dropping her off in the San Bernardino Mountains.
Remember, if you get into any trouble, text me. And I'll probably, within at least 48 hours, okay. I'll notice the text. Bye, Hope.
I learned a wide array of skills over the course of my weekend in the woods. How to make fire, navigation by the stars and the sun, building my own shelter, using medicinal plants, making rope and flotation devices from reeds, and what bugs you should and shouldn't eat. Thomas Goyne Survival School has trained many branches of the military and law enforcement, and also trains just normal, everyday people who want to learn to survive in an emergency.
Hi, my name is Joe Hernandez. I'm a tech sergeant in the United States Air Force, stationed in Los Angeles Air Force Base.
Joe was one of the course instructors and became my adventure buddy for the weekend. He says there are so many lessons to learn from survival classes, because it's not just about what kind of plants or bugs to eat or how to build a shelter. There are so many problem-solving steps that go into it.
You have to be a geologist. You have to be a botanist. You have to be an engineer. You know, all these different things come into just being alive. It's amazing.
Part of why I did the training, besides John thinking it would be funny for me to eat bugs, was that I was fascinated by what it's like to survive in the wilderness or in enemy territory on the nutrition of insects. Now, according to Joe, bugs show warning signs. Their colors will tell you if you can or can't eat them. In general, you should eat the larvae or eggs of bugs because they are high in fat and protein and probably don't have any parasites.
There's a rule that we use. Red, black, and yellow, keep away, fellow. Green, white, or brown, wolf it down.
So I set out with Joe to find out how you catch bugs, which ones you eat, how you prepare them, how nutritious they are, and what bugs taste like.
Hey, bugs, where are you?
The bugs proved hard to find, but after 2 days of searching...
Oh, there's a worm!
Where?
There's a worm!
Got him. Well done.
You got a worm, people.
You want to split it with me?
Okay.
Right, so
now, let me say that many people in different countries around the world eat bugs. Researchers agree that insects have incredible nutritional value and could even help solve environmental problems because of their low cost and minimal carbon footprint. But the majority of people in the U.S. just haven't gotten on board. Dr. Mark Hoddle, entomologist at the University of California, Riverside, says farming these micro-livestock as our future meat source just isn't that likely.
Startup companies have been developed based on this idea that insects are going to be the future of protein source for humans. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Basically, he says eating insects here is a fringe market, and the problem is Americans think bugs are gross. Okay, so maybe people aren't going to swap eating steaks for beetle larvae here anytime soon. But at least now I can tell you that if I get lost in the woods and have to eat bugs, they really aren't that bad.
3, 2, 1.
What do you think?
It isn't bad. It's just kind of rubbery and a little crunchy. Okay. So if I was actually hungry, I feel like that wouldn't be that hard to do.
You didn't even need to drink your water.
I know.
Proud of you.
Thanks.
Let's see if we can find some more.
All right.
For the California Report, I'm Hope McKinney in San Bernardino.
And that was Hope McKinney's last story as part of the California Report team. We're going to miss her dearly, and we wish her a lot of luck. All right, well, let's talk about other things in the forest. California forests, and especially our redwoods, are known worldwide. And in fact, each California redwood is known to those who study the forest because, believe it or not, those trees are part of a registry. KQED's Penny Nelson spoke with Cal Poly botanist Professor Matt Ritter about what this registry is and how it works.
Well, I'm one of 50 state coordinators for a national registry of champion trees. These are the individuals that are larger than any other individual within their species.
Wow. Who knew?
Yeah. So you would think that who knew or who cares about that, but it actually, there are people out there who care a lot, and there are great stories associated with what communities and what places and which national forests have the largest individual trees, and people compete to find the largest one. There's been recent discoveries of new larger redwoods, new larger pines. A recent discovery of the largest sugar pine in the world just happened last year.
So if somebody came upon a truly enormous tree, they need to check into the registry.
Right. The measurements are confirmed by professional foresters and myself and other people. But usually the way it happens is they will report it in the form of some kind of rough measurement. I was here. I saw this large tree. And then we will follow up on it and see if it's actually a champion individual. And it happens all the time. They are often in these really protected pockets and areas, and they're always old, and they've gotten lucky for many, many, many years and didn't die or get hit by lightning or fall over or get in some storm. And they're just the freak individuals that are really awesome and impressive. And you can go on the registry and you can see the location. People have made tours of California from one big tree to the next, a fun way to travel through California and see big trees.
That was Cal Poly botany professor Matt Ritter speaking with our Penny Nelson.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. The James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.
And that's the California Report for Christmas Day. I hope you get to spend your day with your loved ones and you get to enjoy them. I'm John Sepulveda.